नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today I've been asked to give a topical class. The topic is character development. Always a challenge. So there's not a Bhagavatam verse, but I've picked a Gita verse that I hope almost everyone knows. So I'll try it. Line by line, here we go. Yad yada charati shreshtas. That's pretty. That sounds like most of us. That's good. Tattare vetaro janaha. Sayat pramanam kurute. Lokas tadanuvartate. Yat yat. Whatever. Acharati. He does. Shreshtaha, a respectable leader. Tat, that. Tat, and that alone. Eva, certainly. Itaraha, common. Janaha, person. Saha, he. Yat, whichever. Pramanam, example. Kurute, does perform. Lokaha, all the world. Tat, that. Anuvartate, follows in the footsteps. Now let's see how many know the translation. Should we try it together? That might be a bit much. Huh? Okay, I'll say it. Whatever action a great man performs, common men follow. And whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. Please repeat. Whatever action a great man performs, common men follow. And whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. Srila Prabhupada's purport. People in general always require a leader who can teach the public by practical behavior. A leader cannot teach the public to stop smoking if he himself smokes. Lord Chaitanya said that a teacher should behave properly before he begins teaching. One who teaches in that way is called acharya, or the ideal teacher. Therefore, a teacher must follow the principles of Shastra, scripture, to teach the common man. The teacher cannot manufacture rules against the principles of revealed scriptures. The revealed scriptures, like Manu Sangita and similar others, are considered the standard books to be followed by human society. Thus, the leader's teaching should be based on the principles of such standard shastras. One who desires to improve himself must follow the standard rules as they are practiced by the great teachers. The Srimad Bhagavatam also affirms that one should follow in the footsteps of great devotees, and that is the way of progress on the path of spiritual realization. The king or the executive head of a state, the father and the school teacher are all considered to be natural leaders of the innocent people in general. All such natural leaders have a great responsibility to their dependents. Therefore, they must be conversant with standard books of moral and spiritual codes. Yadyara charati shreshtas tattadeve taro janaha sayat pramanam kurute lokas tadanuvartate om agyana timirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai sri gurave namaha. I thought this was a great follow-up to the class that Rasa Mandala Prabhu gave yesterday. There was a lot about example and not imitating and following and what's an avadut and all these different issues. So I chose this verse. Excuse me. This all happens to be the keynote verse of a very nice course. If you ever go to Sridhar Mayapur during the it's offered in the middle of our semester. During the Bhakti Vaibhav, Bhakti Shastri semester. It's always offered in January. This course is offered during the break, during the semester break. But it's actually, I think, the best course in the whole thing. It's called Bhakti Sadachar, which means Vaishnava behavior. And I think it should be the orientation course that everybody takes before they take Bhakti Shastri and Bhakti Vaibhav, because it's really what it's all about, you know. It's like we have here Bhakti Vedanta College. So the end of all knowledge, Vedanta, is bhakti, is devotion. So this is the keynote verse in the course. And again, if you ever have a chance to go to Mayapur and take this course, don't pass it up. It's worth the price of the plane ticket just for to go. More about that a little later. Okay. It's all about reconstituting our behavior, our nature, as you hear Prabhupada say in the recording. Originally, we're all Krishna-conscious living entities. But due to our association with matter, from time immemorial, our consciousness is now polluted by a material atmosphere. This consciousness can at once be revived by chanting Hare Krishna, basically. Mm-hmm. So, if you look in the 13th chapter of the Gita, it's perhaps the most analytical chapter of the Gita. Nature, the enjoyer, and consciousness. In the sixth and the seventh verse, Krishna describes our problem. The problem, the fix we're in. Let's take a look at that. Ahabhutanya hankaro bhuriravayaktami bacham. I forget the rest. You know? Indriyani dashaikam cha panchachendriya gocharaham icchadveshaksukam dukam sanghatashchetanadvritihi etachetram samasena savikaram adahritam. Now what Krishna lists in these two verses, I could swear it's me. It sounds like it must be me, but it's not. It's what's around me and what I've let surround me. The five great elements. False ego, intelligence, the unmanifested, the 10 senses and the mind, the 5 sense objects, desire, hatred, happiness, distress, the aggregate, the life symptoms and convictions. All these are considered in summary to be the field of activities and its interactions. This is simply our field, what's surrounding us. It's not the soul proper. So that's the problem, and as Krishna often does in the Bhagavad Gita, he doesn't just leave us with a problem, but he immediately gives the solution, point, counterpoint. So those two verses describe what we've surrounded ourselves with. And then in the next 5 verses, he gives the solution. 5 verses. And it's a school. He's describing a curriculum for a school. But you don't usually read subjects like humility, pridelessness, nonviolence. This is the curriculum. This is the items that Prabhupada calls them the items of knowledge for us to get out of our predicament. Humility, pridelessness, nonviolence, tolerance. These are all courses in the school. Simplicity, approaching a bona fide spiritual master. Cleanliness, steadiness, self-control. Renunciation of the objects of sense gratification. Absence of false ego. The perception of the evil of birth, death, old age, and disease. Detachment. Freedom from entanglement with children, wife, home, and the rest. Even-mindedness amid pleasant and unpleasant events. Constant and unalloyed devotion to me. Aspiring to live in a solitary place. Detachment from the general mass of people. Accepting the importance of self-realization. And philosophical search. Notice the word philosophical search. Not speculative search. Not mental search. Not drug search. Not, you know, whatever. Philosophical search for the absolute truth. All these I declare to be knowledge. And besides this, whatever there may be is ignorance. And Prabhupada patiently explicates every item of knowledge in the purport. And he presents them, he frames them in a way that lest we scratch our heads. Sometimes we scratch our heads at some of these. Like, here's one, here's a big one that might scratch our heads. Freedom from entanglement with children, wife, home, and the rest. Wait a minute. That's an ashram. You know, it's a grihastha ashram. It's okay. It's okay to be married. It's okay to have a family. So, Prabhupada balances it in the purport. As for detachment from children, wife, and home, it is not meant that one should have no feeling for these. They are natural objects of affection. And then he turns. But when they are not favorable to spiritual progress, then one should not be attached to them. And then he gives the whole program of how to make the family Krishna conscious. And it's simple, but it's not easy. Right? It's simple. What is it? Prabhupada says, the process is simple, the application is difficult. Okay. If one is in full Krishna consciousness, he can make his home very happy. Because this process of Krishna consciousness is very easy. One need only chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Accept the remnants of foodstuffs offered to Krishna. Have some discussion on books like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And engage oneself in deity worship. These four things will make one happy. Simple. Now, have you tried to apply these in your... Who has a family here? Oh, Hare Krishna Kumari, my Hawaii colleague. Okay, it's not easy, is it? Because the tendency is to make, instead of the deities the center, what do people make the center? The one-eyed guru, the television, the cyclops guru who mesmerizes you. They've done studies, and actually there's something about that medium that mystically disables people's critical thinking faculties and just hypnotizes them. You know, it's just, and it can be used in Krishna service, but mostly it's not. So, yeah, deity worship, taking prasad together, the modern family, the people are just coming and going. You know, they hardly sit together anymore, at least in America. Chanting together, hearing shastra, these are simple things, but wow. Real challenge, right, in the modern age. Okay. The family members can sit down morning and evening and chant together. Again, Prabhupada chants the whole mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If, here's the big if One can mold his family life in this way to develop Krishna consciousness, following these four principles. Then there is no need to change from family life to renounce life. But if it is not congenial, not favorable for spiritual advancement, then family life should be abandoned. Prabhupada uses the A word. That's such a big word in modern society. He abandoned us, or she abandoned us. But Prabhupada said, if it's not favorable for spiritual advancement, if it's actually a threat, if it actually is undermining the mission of human life, get out immediately. But if it is not, yes, there it is. One must sacrifice everything to realize or serve Krishna, just as Arjun did. Arjun did not want to kill his family members, but when he understood that these family members were impediments to his Krishna realization, he accepted the instruction of Krishna and fought and killed them. In all cases, one should be detached from the happiness and distress of family life. I love this phrase, because in this world, one can never be fully happy or fully miserable. So, 1975, February, I just remembered an incident that highlights what Prabhupada wrote here about how Arjuna, when he realized, you know, at first Arjuna was saying, Katang bhishma mahang sankhe dronang cha madhusudana ishu bhik pratiyotsyami pujarha varisudana. O killer of Madhu Krishna, how can we counterattack with arrows and battle men like Bhishma and Drona who are worthy of my worship? But at the end, after he heard the Gita, Nashto mohak smritilam da, my illusion is now gone. I have regained my memory by your mercy. Tat prasadan maya chuta. Stitos migate sandeha kurashi vachanam tava. Now I'll do whatever you want. And he very humbly was. You couldn't even see his arms, right? He was savyasachin, means he's ambidextrous. He can shoot arrows with unerring accuracy, just equally with either arm. So February 1975, Srila Prabhupada is in Miami, visiting what he called New Naimisharanya Forest. And for two successive evenings, we sat at his lotus feet beneath a sweet big banyan tree in the backyard. And he was lecturing on the 13th chapter, actually, those Chitragyang Japimang Bidhi. He was lecturing on the field and the knower of the field. So one day I stuck over to the house where Prabhupada was staying, and because I knew his servant was a friend of mine, Shruta Kirti Prabhu. Maybe you've read his book, What is the Difficulty? Great book. So I snuck over to the back door where the kitchen was. It was Abhiram Prabhu's house that he lent to Prabhupada. And so I opened the door. I said, Shruta, something I can do? Can I do some service? And Srila Prabhupada was on the other side of a curtain. There was the kitchen where Shruta Kirti was cleaning up after lunch. And then Prabhupada was behind the curtain. And so Shruta Kirti smiled. He's a very sweet guy, very amiable, affable. And so he said, yeah, come on, you can clean the floor. You can, you know, I'm just washing the dishes. And Prabhupada just finished taking lunch. So I come in and, you know, I feel like, wow, Prabhupada's right on the other side of the curtain, you know. And we could hear him. Prabhupada was chanting japa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And then Prabhupada called Shruta Kirti behind the curtain. And they were talking in kind of low, muffled voices, and I couldn't understand what they were saying. So finally Shruta Kirti came back on the other side of the curtain. And as we always did, I said, what did Prabhupada say? That's what we always said, you know, what did Prabhupada say? And he just got this big smile on his face. And he said, Srila Prabhupada was chanting in front of a picture of Krishna and Arjuna I don't see it here. It's the picture where... Oh, yeah, there it is. Well, that's actually, it's the moment where Arjuna says, I shall not fight. Like he's thrown down his... Visrija sasharangcha pang shokasang vignamanasa. He's thrown down his bows and arrows, and he says, Nuyotsya, I will not fight. So Prabhupada had called Shrutakirti, and then Shrutakirti had walked in and was chanting japa, and he looked at the, he gestured to the painting for Shrutakirti to look at the painting. And so Shrutakirti looked at the painting, and the Prabhupada said, very difficult job. Very difficult job. Krishna said, kill your relatives. Very difficult job. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare Hare. But he did it. He killed his relatives. That is Krishna Bhajan. Kill your relatives. Yeah. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So then he came on the other side of the curtain again, and that's when Shrutakirti was beaming. Now, for years, I would tell this story. And then Shrutakirti and I met 20 years later, 22 years later, at a Gita Nagari Ratha Yatra, country-style Ratha Yatra. And, Jai Bhaktivinoda. And we were swapping Prabhupada stories. So I said to Shrutakirti, I said, Shruta, I'm going to tell you a Prabhupada story that we were both present at. I want to see if I'm telling it right. Because you know how the memory plays tricks. The memory is always embellishing, distorting, you know, telling it the way you want to remember it. So anyway, so I told him the story. I told him just what I just told you. And then he got a big smile on his face, and he said, now do you know why Prabhupada told me that? You know, gestured to Krishna and Arjuna and kill your relatives. Do you know why he said that? I said, no. So now I got the full story. The full story was, Prabhupada had just taken Shrutakirti back on his personal service. Shruta put in two stints. He put in, two stints. And he was actually in that service, personal servant, longer than anyone, even longer than Hari Shariprabhu. So Prabhupada had come from Miami, he had come up from Caracas, Venezuela, and before that he was in Mexico City, and before that he was in Hawaii, where I'm based. And it was in Hawaii where Shrutakirti was living with a wife and a new son. You know, son was a year or so old. That's where Shrutakirti had rejoined Prabhupada. But it was extraordinary circumstance. Shrutakirti had left Prabhupada's personal service before because he needed to be married. So he got married and then he moved to Hawaii. He was living with wife and son. But apparently it wasn't a very favorable marriage. It was kind of hellish or something. It wasn't working, even though there was a child, and it wasn't favorable. Jai, Shishi Radha Gopina. So, Prabhupada's personal servant was leaving that position, and the devotees were asking Shrutakirti if he would consider coming back as Prabhupada's personal servant, since Prabhupada really appreciated his service. Because he was first class. He would try not to wait to be told what to do. He would anticipate Prabhupada's needs, and that's first class servant. You anticipate the needs and the desires of the master. So Shruta was good at that. So Prabhupada wasn't asking him directly, but Shruta was getting the message through Prabhupada's entourage that, you know, Prabhupada would really like it. And then Shrutakirti kept saying, but I'm a family man now. I got a wife and child. But Prabhupada knew his situation. So Shrutakirti kept, you know, resisting it. And then the last day, the day Prabhupada was leaving, the question was asked to Shrutakirti again in front of Srila Prabhupada. And Shrutakirti looked at his questioners and he looked at Srila Prabhupada, and he could tell that Prabhupada wanted him. So he said, okay, I'll do it. So when Prabhupada told him that story, it was Prabhupada's way of validating Shudakirti's agreement to come along again. You know, the same spiritual master who always preached against, you know, divorce and broken families and prematurely leaving your family. In this case, he applied it the opposite way. Very interesting. So, the theme is character development. Here's a nice piece of a verse. CC, Madhya 17, 185. A devotee's behavior establishes the true purpose of religious principles. Can we all say that together? A devotee's behavior establishes the true purpose of religious principles. Srila Prabhupada spent, and that's only, and the rest of the verse is about how Madhavendra Puri Gosai embodies this verse. His character is spotless. Prabhupada spends the whole, he writes many pages purport of this. I looked at the purport and I realized it was too long. It just went on and on and on. The sum and substance of the purport is that the reason a devotee's behavior, and Prabhupada's very clear in the purport that this is a full-fledged, mature, pure devotee, a ripe devotee. The reason his behavior establishes the true purpose of religious principles is that it's completely free from any desire to enjoy the gross body, that's called karma, or the subtle mind, it's called gyan, or mystic powers, yoga. A pure devotee is completely free from that. He's completely satisfied and enthused in his original identity as servant of Krishna. And unless and until we actually come to that point of you know, not wanting anything other than Krishna's pleasure, we can't really exemplify that kind of behavior. Our behavior will always, you know, be scented with some other desire. So that's, as Rasamandala Prabhu pointed out yesterday, that's a gradual process. But gradual doesn't mean slow, it means progressive. And then I gave the example, if I jump in the shower and I'm really dirty because I've been working hard, maybe outside with the cows or playing football or whatever, I'll get clean gradually if I vigorously scrub. If I just put my toe in, you know, if I just pretend, like one time in the early days of ISKCON, there was no hot water because there was no money. So it was, you know, even if you were in a cold city like Pittsburgh or Boston or Chicago and you know, it was freezing. You know, the water felt like bullets. So I remember one person in a temple, his name was Mahayogi, and he would pretend he was taking a shower. He'd put the shower on, and then you'd hear him go, Hare Krishna, and he'd jump up and down. And then he came out of the shower smelling the same. So this is called niyamagraha. If I apply myself to the process, you know, just going through the motions, just I really have my own agenda, and I'm determined to hang on to it. That's called, you know, to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. And we don't really make any progress. Like the old anchor story, the wedding party's rowing all night and they just go in circles. So we need to get off that platform, and we will gradually get cleansed if we wholeheartedly take to the process. Okay, I'm going to end with a little anecdote. Yes. The year is 1974, and for my generation, the legendary Vishnu Janaswamy, legendary kirtan leader, he's in Mayapur, and he gets inspired that he wants to go down the Ganga in a boat with Sankirtan and stop at all the little, you know, villages. But he has a doubt. He has a doubt about his idea, his plan. And the doubt is, he goes to Srila Prabhupada and he says, Prabhupada, I don't speak the language. I don't speak Bangla. I don't speak Bengali. So Prabhupada just laughs, because Prabhupada liked the idea a lot. And so Prabhupada just with a dismissive laugh, he says, "Oh, they don't care what you say. They just want to see how you behave." Ah. So sometimes we hear example is better than precept. We hear that, right? But it's arguably the only precept. You know, actions speak louder than words. I can say so many things, but what you'll take away from what I say is actually how I behave, is my consciousness. Right? That's what resonates. If people are really, what are those cliches? Inspirational, transformational, you know, motivational, then they really live what they say, and it comes out. Okay. So, if you are able to come to the Founder Acharya seminar for starting tomorrow, Thursday and Friday, we will be talking a lot about example. My godbrother Gurudas wrote a whole book, By His Example, The Wit and Wisdom of Srila Prabhupada. And the seminar is all about how we all have this foundational relationship with him and how he is our foundational guru. So if your life permits it, you're more than welcome to come. And it would be very edutaining. Okay, so I'm going to read the verse again, or I'll just... Yad yada charati shreshtas tatta devetaro janaha sayat pramanam kurute lokas tadanuvartate. Whatever action is performed by a great man, common men follow. And whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. Questions, comments? Room for improvement? Yes, Maharaji.
About being exemplary, like I was wondering, like if a person is desiring to be exemplary, but because of some conditioning, it's not able to always be exemplary, is the person still kind of like allowed to preach? Like in the sense, sometimes one says, why are you preaching if you are not?
Everybody get it? Understand the question? How can I preach, or should I? Okay, let me give you the synthesis. We should only preach as we should only speak as much as we exemplify, right? I'm not exemplifying much, or I'm, you know, my example is pretty weak. So, what do I do? Well, there's a couple of things. One thing is that Prabhupada, sometimes he would say, preach from your level of realization. That's a good hint. And Mahaprabhu also says, Apani achari prabhu jivere shikoi. This is a point, this verse actually would make me ask your question even more, because Mahaprabhu says, first you be an example and then you preach. But the other side of it is, just by preaching, like I'm speaking now, and I'm mainly speaking to purify myself, because then if I say something, then I have to live it, you know. It's a great reminder. There's an old saying, wouldn't the world be such a wonderful place? Wouldn't it be a wonderful place if we all followed our own advice? Isn't that? You know, when you give somebody advice and then they walk away and you think, yeah, I should do that. You know? So preach from your level of realization, but also challenge yourself that if you say something that you know you're not completely living, but say it. And then live it, you know. And that's the gradual process of Krishna consciousness, because it's unlimited things we have to work on. But If we're actually, and it's all based on hearing Krishna, it's all based on nama chintamani, you know, associating with Krishna. That's the chaito darpana marjana. Really chanting attentively, it's magic. It's like magical. And why do we get bored and why do we get spaced out? Because we don't hear. You know, that's why Krishna says, yato yato nischalati manas chanchalam mastiram tatastato nayam yaita atmanyeva vashangnayet. From whatever and wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. The mind is always at the movies. It's always either hankering for something I don't have or lamenting for something I lost. Hankering, lamenting. We got to just bring it back. We have to be here now with Krishna. So, yeah, don't be afraid to challenge yourself. But it's true, in general, we'll only be as effective in our preaching as we're living it. That's true. So that's, if we want to, you know, help ourselves and help others, we have to keep, it's a Hare Krishna movement. You know, otherwise, as soon as we stagnate, then it's the beginning of the end. We can't stagnate. Because the nature of the spirit, it always wants to increase. It's this the spirit, the jyoti, Prabhupada says, jyoti means light in the 13th chapter. And the spirit is full of light and love, and it just wants to, you know, it's full of desire. So if we're not increasing spiritually, if we're not coming closer to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, we're going to increase materially. And that's, you know, we're just increasing our illusion. We have to give up our drama and enter into Krishna's drama. Life is full of drama, and Krishna likes drama. He likes intrigue, suspense. He's always keeping me in suspense, you know, just so I depend on him. So, yeah, just preach in the main from your level of realization, but preach plus one, plus a little more. Keep raising the bar, you know. Challenge yourself. And again, I heartily encourage everyone who is able to try to go to Mayapur and attend this course sometime. Or if, did Bhakti Brihat Bhagavat Maharaj ever come here with this course? Bhakti, no? He travels with it. It's worth for him, just pay his ticket and get him here just to take that course. It's really, it's revolutionary. It really goes deep. Thank you for your question. Prabhu. Understand the question? That's why Mahatma Gandhi, he tried to make a case for pacifism, you know, out of the Bhagavad Gita. That's the Gandhi that Prabhupada didn't like. But Prabhupada loved Swadeshi Gandhi. You know, produce only what you can use. What is it? Live locally. Produce only what you need and use only what you produce. That Gandhi Prabhupada loved. So, yes, human life is meant for nonviolence. Let's think of a verse in the 18th chapter. Listen to this one. Yasena hankrito bhavo buddhir yasya nalipyate hadva pisa imalokan nahantina nibadyate. One whose intelligence is not entangled. You see, implicit in your question, there was a duality. Right? Violence and nonviolence. I don't get it. One whose intelligence is not entangled. I forget the verse now. There's a second part. It's 18:17. One whose intelligence is not entangled, like mine. Oh, one who is not motivated by false ego. There's the root. False ego is, I'm ferociously identifying with matter. I'm determined to enjoy matter. So that's false ego. One who is not motivated by false ego, and then whose intelligence is not entangled, though he kills men in this world, does not kill, nor is he bound by his actions. So why was the Bhagavad Gita spoken on a battlefield? Because it's such a radical, extreme situation. None of us can say we have it any harder than Arjuna, who was facing his friends and family, people that protected him when he was growing up. And he was being asked to kill them. But he wasn't being asked to do them any harm. Because what Krishna wanted, if we understand, if we really yoga in the fullest sense, if we link, if we harmonize our whole being, not just our bodies, not just our minds, but our whole being with the will of Krishna by purification process, not just by saying it. You know, anybody can say, yeah, God told me to do this, right? And God told me to kill all these people. But by undergoing the purification process of bhakti, surrendering to Krishna, then whatever Krishna wants is the best for everybody. Because everybody's part and parcel of Krishna. The people who were killed on the battlefield, that was good for them. You know, materially killed. You can't kill the spirit. And that's how the Gita opens. Na hanyate hanyamane sharire. There's no birth or death. He has not come into being, does not come into being, will not come into being. And that is a vast, that's how Prabhupada actually said it when he dictated it. And then in the first edition it said, nor having once been does he ever cease to be. That's not our philosophy. Is that how you learned it? Nor having once been does he ever cease to be. That's the first edition. That's a great example of how the changes came about in the first edition. Twixt the dictaphone and the page, there's many a slip. Okay, that's another seminar, you know.
Book changes.
Okay, whatever Krishna wants, even if it's apparently violent, is the best thing. Just like a parent sometimes has to get a little even violent to discipline a child. He might have to, you know, do something that's going to make an impression. And Prabhupada even said that about his own father. Now I have to discipline you, and don't mind, it is for your own good. Because Prabhupada said I was a rascal, you know, I didn't want to go to school, and I was very fiery like my mother, you know. I was very demanding. And that's why I'm the way I am now, you know. Distributed a lot of books, good, double it. Practically I'm whipping you. Distribute book. Yeah. So what appears to be, you know, all these things, they have their pure form in the spiritual sky. Anger, lust, envy. These are all in, this is part of the seminar too. All these things that appear to be negative and undesirable, they have their pure form in the spiritual world. So, but that's an extreme case. 99.9% of the time, yes, a devotee is even externally very meek and mild and sweet. But what separates, as we say in America, you know, the men from the boys, is when we come to a higher level. We go from dharma to bhakti. Because in the second chapter, Arjuna was arguing very nicely dharma. All these reasons. We shouldn't fight. We shouldn't, you know, it's not right. Arjuna was preaching to God, God, thou shalt not kill. Yeah, that's the nature of the Gita. It goes beyond the dualities, even, you know, the dualities of mundane religion. You know, so we're being, Krishna consciousness is the ultimate challenge to come to see everything through Krishna's eyes, to let him take over our thinking, our feeling, our willing, our mind, our body, our words. Because that's who we are. We're of Krishna. And when you have thus learned the truth, you'll know that all living beings are but part of me. They are in me and are mine. You're getting late? I wanted to stop early. Anyway, but that's okay. So I thought I saw a hand. No? Okay. Okay, so it's great to be back in Radhadesha after 6.5 years. I was here in 05 spring taking teacher training from Rasamandala Prabhu. Great experience. I'd like to be involved more with the Bhaktivedanta College. That's, now I've said I let the cat out of the bag. So maybe I'd like to come here more. No? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.